have your Bibles tonight, I invite you to open with me the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And rather than, as we look tonight, to take each individual kind of a position or, as we might say, relationship tonight, we're going to just kind of put these together and entitle the message, God's Divine Order for the Home. Now, in Ephesians, the first two chapters, Paul spoke to the church on their riches in Christ Jesus, how rich we are by knowing Christ is our Savior. But as we come to this part, we found that he mentions our walk, and then we noted how that our fellowship with those that are without, those who do not know Christ, that we certainly are to love their souls, but certainly we're to walk circumspectly, we're to walk in the light. But also we find that we have relationships that he talks to us about. And that relationship is tonight as we're going to deal with our family. Probably those, and it's true, those who know us best is our family. We live with them and they know us best. And tonight we find that Paul writes concerning, I believe, the family, and I believe God's order for the family. The Bible says in Ephesians 5 and verse 22, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it that should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. Now this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. The wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Someone has said there are three important words in the human language. There's the word heaven. And heaven is a sweet word. It's a very important word, isn't it? It's a place that we long to go, and a place that is our heavenly home if we know Christ as our personal Savior. And then they say that the next important word is the word mother. Mother is such a sweet word. And mother is such a sweet person. Great position in life is a mother. And then they say that the next word is home. Never so gentle, never so sweet is a place like home. I remember a little statement that many times I have learned and attach it with places that are special. And that little phrase goes, there is no place like this place, anywhere in the world near this place, like this place, so this must be the place. Now, I feel that way toward many places in my life. I feel that way toward the house of God and the church that comes in fellowships in the house of God. But I feel that way toward home. To me, there is no place like home. And I'll be honest with you tonight, in my growing up days, I was always a homeboy. I was always, and I don't take I'm not embarrassed by saying this, I was always a mama's boy. Because I'll be honest with you, I loved home. I loved to stay at home. And tonight we talk about that home. God's institution, God's intention for the home. He made it to be one of the highest places for human happiness in the world. And that is in the home. Great joy is to be had and experienced in the home. Oftentimes, that place is not so. Many times, it's a battlefield instead of a place of joy and love. If I understand the Scriptures correctly, I understand that the home is the oldest institution God has made. As the Bible states in the book of Genesis, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Before he ever created government, he created and instituted the home. He sanctified the home. It's holy unto him. I believe I can say, and you would agree with me tonight, there's nothing wrong with the institution of the home. The problem is that the people who many times abide in the home. Amen. Just like this world we live in. There's nothing wrong with the world that God created that we live in today. The problem is the people who abide in the world today as we look at them. We look at our nation. One of the great foundations of our nation that's made our nation such a nation as it is was our home and our homes in our land. I think you would agree with me again tonight. The home in America has seen kindly of a downward trend in the last several years. Many things have come against the home. Modern culture has invaded the home. Now it seems like a place of chaos rather than the place of peace and joy that God put it here for to be. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:28, "Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy forefathers or thy fathers have set." The home, its place, its position, is a place that God has set. And we cannot remove these things and hope God's blessings upon our land. I say tonight, and I don't even watch TV much anymore, but these TV shows such as Wife Swap, all these modern cultures of same-sex marriages and all these things are not a friend of the home. They're the enemies of the home. And even the things that our Pope, the world's Pope, said this week concerning gay marriage and these things are going to be an invasion of the home down the road. As I look at God's Word tonight, as I say, God, through Paul, is going to give us relationships as we live and deal with them. As you look on in the book of Ephesians, he gives you a relationship to live in that of a servant, and that is a worker. But tonight, we deal with the home. And I know this message probably isn't going to win me any friends. And I know that it isn't going to influence me in life much. But I just want to look at the Word of God tonight as we study together and look tonight at the order of the home. I want to look at three things with you as Paul looks at this text. And I realize that he compares it to the church in many ways in that relationship. But I want you to look with me first tonight at the head of the home. The head of the home. And if I understand Scripture tonight, I believe that the head of the home is to be the husband. Now I want you to look at Scriptures that relate to this that I've already led to you tonight. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. And look at verse 23. Listen what he says. "For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. He is the Savior of the body." We realize tonight that Jesus is the head of the church. And we find that he relates the husband in the position to the wife as being the head. In verse 25, it makes this statement. "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." And then if you look at verse 28, "Husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies." There he deals in relationship with the husband. And then he moves on in chapter 6. And if there is children involved in that relationship, then we find that the husband has become the father of the children who is to lead them and guide them in a correct example. You know, the Bible does say that whosoever findeth a good wife findeth a good thing. Now, we as husbands ought to say amen to that tonight. Amen? Amen. Now, you see, ladies, that they are excited about this, and you can see tonight that they are all thrilled and all love it up about this tonight. But as you look tonight, we have to say that, yes, to be a husband, to become a part of a family, is a special thing in our lives. Now, tonight we want to say this husband, and we look, and before we kind of get macho in this thing of husband, we've got to back up and look at what the Bible says the husband is to be to that family. What the husband is to be to that household. And if I understand and if I look, the word head could literally be translated leader. The husband is to be the leader of the household. Now, as you look in this text, you find that Christ is the leader of the church. He is to lead and guide the church. Even though he's not here tonight, the Holy Spirit, as his administrator, is leading and guiding the church. And tonight, the husband is to be the leader in the household. He's to be the leader in the family. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and look at verse 13. And we can find in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 3, we find these words. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ. And the Bible says the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. If you look at verses 8 and 9, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman was created for the man. So tonight we find that God, as He was in the Garden of Eden, as we studied this morning, and there God created the man. And you'll find that God said it was not good that man should be alone. And what did God do? God created a helpmate. And if I understand, He took her from Adam. And there He placed her as a helpmate to Adam in his life. And there we find that in that helpmate, He found fellowship, He found partnership, He found intimate relationship with the woman that God had given him. Today we come and everyone wants their rights. Everyone wants their rights. I want my rights. I want my privileges. And we found that in a modern movement, it was what was called the woman's rights. And said that she said, I want my rights. And I want to say tonight that when Christ said, the husband is head of the wife, that He is not putting him as a dictator over his wife. I don't believe God put the husband as the dictator to rule over his wife. Now, I'll tell you something. It won't take you long in a marriage to find out that you're not the dictator. Oh, me? It won't take you long in that relationship, in that marriage, to find out that you're not the dictator, that the head is just to rule and rule with a hard thumb. I realized once, and as I thought and studied this message, I had to reflect back over my ministry. And there was on one occasion a young man that came to my house. And I didn't even know what he was coming there for as he came one morning. But he came and he was talking about his wife. His wife. And he said to me, he said, Brother Danny, I have made a mistake. He said, I did not put my foot down the way I should early in my marriage. I just had to grin. I don't know what he meant by putting his foot down. But I want to say tonight, that can get you in trouble. Amen, men? That can get you in trouble. It can get you in trouble with the law today. Amen? It can get you in trouble with the law. Just a few years ago, Frances and I went to the cemetery. She was mowing, and I was mowing, and she was down cleaning by the grave marker there. And behold, a little rock flew off the blade and hit her in the eye. And I had to take her to the emergency room. And when I got to the emergency room, I like to found myself in trouble. As they began to question me, how did this happen? I think they thought, and it could have been, that I hit her. Well, what are you talking about, Brother Danny? I'm talking about that the husband being head of the wife does not create a position that he is to browbeat, that he is to abuse his wife. That is not why God gave her to him. And that is not how that he is to live in relationship to her. That is not how he is to live in relationship to her. If I understand it, Christ lives in relationship to us. How does he live in relationship to us as being the head of the church? He cares for the church, doesn't he? He suffices her needs. He cares, and he cares for us. And that is the way we are to be concerning our wives. Now, I want to say tonight, and as I look tonight, as being the leader of a family, we are to be leader in spiritual things. We're to be the leader in spiritual things, leading out in our lives. Turn in your Bibles back in the Old Testament. And one of the men that stands out to me in being the leader of his family, not only the leader of a nation, but it's a man by the name of Joshua. And Joshua makes a statement that I think that every husband should make. The Bible says in Joshua 24:15, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which were fought your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." But he says here, "As far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord." What was Joshua saying? We will serve the Lord. I will be the leader of that house. And as I lead that house, I will lead them in spiritual things. In my early days of my childhood, I have to say that my mother led us and carried us to the house of God. Dad never frequented it. But I can say after that he was saved, that Dad was the spiritual leader that he should be, that he led us to the house of God, that he didn't send us no more. He took us to the house of God. And as we look tonight, we are living in a day that I look in this building, and I thank God for men. Amen. I thank God for husbands. I thank God for fathers that are with their wives, that are with their children as they come to the house of God. I look in the Old Testament and I find that the husband, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I find that they were priests of that family. And being priests of the family, they would build sacrifices. They would build altars, make them places of worship for their families. And tonight, folk, listen, I think a wife should say amen to have a godly husband that loves the Lord and loves his family, that he likes and sees their spiritual welfare and is concerned about that spiritual welfare. The Bible says, as we move on to fatherhood, in Ephesians 6, verse 4, listen to what it says in that statement. "Ye fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." My responsibility to live before them a godly example that might lead them and might point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know we've got a young couple sitting back here, and their plans are, and they're going to be getting married. Now, that's a good occasion. You know, in life, I guess one of the great desires is for a young man to get married. I mean, to get a wife. And that seems to be a great desire in life. But you know, and I thank God for Frances, and I don't want you to get the idea that I don't thank God for her, that I don't love her, and I would scratch your eyes out if you tried to hurt her. You can say all things you want to about Brother Danny, but don't you hurt her. Don't you hurt her. But I want to tell you something tonight.
There's a difference in living at home with mother and daddy and being a husband. Amen? I found that out one Saturday morning. I did. I knew it was different. I mean, we were married on a Friday night. We came home on Saturday morning. The first place we went was to the grocery store to buy those groceries. And you know what? I found out there's going to be a difference now. It's different than living with mother and daddy. Now, the Bible says for that young man to do what? For him to leave his father and mother. Amen? Today, you say, well, I'm just going to live right down the street to them. If I have a problem, I'll run back to mother. I don't think that was the intent that God gave in the Scripture in the home relationship. I believe that they were to get out and get them a home and build them a home as they in their own lives. Too many times, and I had a wedding last couple of weeks ago, and that little girl, and I'll say she was 19 years old, awful young, but that young girl, she said, well, I'm going to just be living 5 minutes from mom and dad if I have a problem or anything. Whoa, outside that, you better be careful. Amen? I mean, there's a position. And I know that you parents say, well, there goes my little boy. They're not your little boy anymore. No, they're not. If they're old enough to get married, they're not a little boy anymore. Amen? And if they're old enough to get married, they're not a little girl anymore. They're still your child. They're still your daughter, and they're still your son. But they become a relationship together, and a relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ. The committal of love is there. Leadership and love, as Christ loved the church. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Can you see Jesus beating His wife? Can you see Jesus beating the church? Why, no. And you cannot see a husband who loves his wife physically beating her. No. No. That's not biblical. He loves her. Now, folks, listen. He is to provide for her spiritually. And Francis always loves this. He is to provide for her materially. That's what the Bible says. Turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. And look what the Bible says in verse 5 and verse 8. He is to provide for her materially. If any man provide not for his own, especially for his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. I mean, he provides to her needs in her life. That's the role. That's the duty of a faithful, loving husband. And tonight, as we look at this in our relationship, a father, why does he work? He doesn't work to accumulate things for his own self. He doesn't work to accumulate him a great bank account. Most fathers work to let and to know that their children or even their household will have it better than they did in life. That's got us in a little trouble today with our children, but we work. We want them to have it a little better than we had it in our lives. I mean, listen, when I came, and I don't have any children, but when I came up, I had to chop cotton. I had to get out there in that old hot sun, and I coated a pick sack every once in a while, and I had to get out there. And you say, Brother Danny, if you had children, would you want them to have to get out there and work and scrape like they did? Well, of course not. We want them to have it a little better in life. And a father, he doesn't work necessarily to get him a boat where he can go down to the river and enjoy it for himself. He wants things for his family, for his household, that it might be well with them in their life, being the provider of that family. So tonight, God has given a position. God has given a responsibility to the man. If he is going to leave his father and mother, and if he is going to enter into a relationship with a woman which will be his wife, then the Bible says he is to be her spiritual leader. He is to be the spiritual leader if they have family. And he is to be the provider of that household as he leads them. What a responsibility. It is a responsibility. Then we find, turn to Ephesians 5. And look at verse 22. Listen what he states. The head of the home is the husband. But he says in Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit to your own husbands as the Lord. Now the wife, she is being submission to her husband. As the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. Again, you may come at me, and again you might say, but Brother Danny, this is 2014 or 2013, and you're lowering my position. No, I'm not. I'm not lowering your position. God is not lowering your position as a wife in that relationship. It means that we are in respect to them. It means that we respect as their wishes, as we respect their wishes. But it means that we're to let Him make those decisions of leadership that are biblical in the Lord. Now, folks, you listen. I know better to run out here and buy a car without asking Francis anything about it. I know better than that. But I'm going to tell you, I don't ask Francis if I can go down to the hamburger place and buy me a hamburger. I think she respects my wishes, even though she does check the garbage can when I come home. But she respects that wish of that. In that letting Him lead and letting Him be the leader of that family. You listen tonight. Abraham Lincoln says, all that I ever will be or am, I owe to a godly mother. And tonight, when you look at the position of a wife in the relationship today, the wife is there. And in many instances, because of our economy, and because of our culture today, for that household to make it, the wife works. And the wife comes home, and the wife works. Amen? I mean, listen tonight. I mean, I'm helping you all I know. Because Francis tells me, what? A man's work is from sun to sun. A woman's work is never done. Thank you, Sister Becky. You know what I'm talking about. But as I look tonight, in her relationship to her husband, she tries to furnish him. She cooks him a meal. I mean, she furnishes him his needs in his life. And there is that intimate love that we have for one another, that partnership in Christ. My, look at how God has honored the wife. He honored Eve. He honored Mary in letting her become the mother of His Son. Mothers have brought in this world presidents. Mothers have born preachers. Wives, mothers have taught. Mothers many times have even carried on the work of the church when there was no men to do it. But tonight to say here and come here and you say, Brother Danny, you're downing me. Paul is downing me. When he says for me to be in subjection to my husband, he says for me to be submissive to my husband. He is not lowering your position, but he's wanting you to see the relationship that Jesus has with his church and the church has with Jesus Christ. There's no greater tonight that you can find. And he brings it to the highest relationship. Mine tonight, the wife. Her attitude. She's the heart. She's the heart of that home. I realize that when a wife moves to the position of motherhood, that child, when it has problems, who does it go? Where does it go? It normally goes to its mother. There they find that trust. There they find that love that has come out to them. And that is such a sacrificial love. that she shows. Turn in your Bibles, and I said this morning, I could let Sister Louise and I could let some of you mothers here today, you could give such a lesson because you're such a living witness. You're such a living witness of this testimony tonight. Look at what the Bible says in the book of Titus. Listen what he says there concerning mothers and grandmothers and what they do. The Bible says in Titus 2 verse 3, the aged women, those mothers, those grandmothers, that they be in behaviors becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be what? To be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God might not be blasphemed. My, what a great help. What a great help it is for mothers, grandmothers, as they teach the younger women as to what is involved in the role of a wife and the role of a mother in life. I mean, listen tonight. Sister Louise, you would tell Lana back there that she's to get up and cook him biscuits. Amen? That he has something to look forward to in his life of having biscuits in that. I mean, I'm just kind of joking there now. But I'm just saying to you tonight, there's the dress. There's the attitude. There's the action. And you see that tonight. You see it as God says, you age women, you can teach younger women things that only you can impart to them. Only you, mother, can impart to that daughter. Only you, grandma, can impart to that daughter. Vice versa, as the men also. God has placed it in a divine order. It's not a place of chaos in our society. You say, well, Brother Danny, I'll tell you what. We're just going to wait to school, and we're going to wait till we send them to school, and we have counselors, and we have all these teachers to teach them. I don't think that's what God intended. Do you? I think God intended us to teach them at home and to be the people at home that we should be. I want you to mark this scripture down, and time's running out on me, don't have time, but I want you to mark the first seven verses of 1 Peter chapter 3. And I want you to go there and read them sometimes. And there God tells the role of a godly wife as she lives her life before others and even before a lost mate. And that could be vice versa. And as they live godly, dedicated lives, to lead them and to show them Christ in their lives. I want to say again, and I thank God for my mother. Mother kept us in church when she had no support at home. She lived her Christian life when really she didn't have any encouragement at home. And I've got to say, that took great faith. Great faith. And there are people today that don't have any encouragement at home, yet they still live that godly Christian life as a husband or as a mother or as a wife in that situation. Folk, I want to tell you, we ought to thank God for people like that. Christian people that will live for Christ, even in the midst of situations like that. We don't see many young, but we have a few children here tonight. But I want you to look at the last thing in this relationship tonight. The head of the home, the leader, is to be the husband. The heart of that home, the wife. And now we come to the hub of the home. The Bible says, children, obey your parents, honor your parents in the Lord. Children. A verse of Scripture in the book of Genesis 6 talks about a man by the name of Enoch. And the Bible says that Enoch had a little boy. His name was what? Methuselah. And you know what? The Bible says that after that Enoch begot Methuselah, he walked with God. Evidently, Methuselah brought a new meaning to Enoch's life. Now, he was a father. And as you look tonight, and as I thought tonight, there are three things that children ought to do for their parents. First of all, a child should honor his parents or her parents. Amen? Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with blessings. Now, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, a little verse of Scripture that describes this is generation today. The Bible says there is a generation that curses their father and doth not bless their mother. The is generation. And that is generation is that they have no respect for themselves and they don't have any respect for their parents. Sad to say. Sad to say. Now I could tell you what I think ought to be done to that one that doesn't have any respect to his parents or her parents. But you don't want to hear that because that's old-fashioned. But I believe tonight you would agree with me. Even those of you tonight that you have grown even up into adulthood, you still, if you have your parents, you respect them and you respect your language to them. Amen? You do. You do. And tonight, we ought to honor and respect our parents. Second thing I think we ought to do with our parents is we ought to heed them. Now, you know, it took me a long time to learn that I didn't know more than mother and daddy. It took me a while to learn that because I'll be honest with you, I thought I knew more than they did. But you know what? I found out that I didn't know as much as I thought I did. And they knew a lot more than I thought they knew. And tonight, to heed them or obey them. The Bible says, in the Lord. And as someone has said, as long as we eat their food, and as long as we live in their house, we are to heed them, to obey them. In the Lord. Now here's the third thing that I believe we ought to do for our parents. And the third thing is, I believe we ought to help them. You say, now, Brother Danny, that you're getting out on the limb a little. I believe we ought to help them. They've helped us, haven't they? And you know what? There may be a time when your mother and dad, they get down and they can't do for themselves as they once did in their lives. And you say, Brother Dan, what can you do for them? You can help them. Help them. I've often said, and I've told you, I didn't think I could ever brush anybody else's teeth, but I could. And you know what? I wish tonight that I could brush them again. You say, why, Brother Danny? Because they were my parents. I loved them. So special to me in my life. And tonight we see, and I know that we live in a world that takes most of our time for ourselves and even our families. But you know what tonight, folk, and it's true. So much of our elderly people in this land are crying for somebody just to talk to. You know that? Somebody just to talk to in life. I rent a place and I could pinch his head off and I do to come from Memphis and not go see his mother at Hampton. Oh, don't give me that. You can take time, amen? You can take time. Because I'll tell you, that's that relationship, folk, that's so special in life. Isn't it? That relationship of the home. There is no place like this place, anywhere in the world like this place, where? In our homes. Francis and I, all we have now is a cat. But I want to tell you, we have Francis and I in the Lord,
That makes a home. Amen. That makes a home. And tonight, if you're here, I know as a husband, you thank God for your wife. And I know if she's mothered your children, you thank God for her as a mother. And tonight, you wives, I know that we're lazy. And I know that we are so unthoughtful and unforgetful. But if you've got a godly husband, you ought to thank God for her. Amen? Or him. Him. Don't get me wrong here. Him. You thank God for him. Got to be careful today in this life. So tonight, your home, it deserves your prayers. And folk, you listen. It's work. Amen? It's work in life that you work at that relationship in your life. My tonight to know Christ, but for him to give you the opportunity to know someone in this life and to live life with in this life is such a blessing. I ask you to stand tonight. Father, I thank you for our homes. Lord, I thank you for the homes in this church. Lord, they give it the strength. Lord, the love that it's built upon. Families that are knitted together and bonded together in love. And Lord, tonight we pray for homes across our land that are in trouble. Lord, I pray for homes that are struggling. I pray for children that are in homes that father and mother do not seem to care. But I pray for mothers and fathers who are having problems with children. Lord, the reality of life will leave this place tonight. And we'll go out into a world. And Lord, as we go out in this world and we look at children, so many times we don't have an idea of what they're dealing with at that home or what's involved in that home. But God, if you've given us a home that is a place of happiness, a place of joy, Lord, we thank you for that tonight. And we thank you for your love that's provided it. And to know you, that helps us in that relationship. Have your will and way in my life. And Lord, may our home, may my home, Lord, be a witness for you in the community that I live. For I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.